Right. Let's get started. So what I had you look at today is the sugya of Efshal Sokto in the Gemara. We're not going to do that in Shira. I just think it's really important to see the sugya if we're going to be discussing it. But no, it's worth the learning anyway. What we were discussing yesterday was Chatich Nas Nevela and its relationship to Efshal Sokto, and whether we apply Chatich Nas Nevela to Shar Isurim. So we pointed out that it seems to be a machlokas mechaber Ramah how to in fact paskin. And the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Tam, the Ramah paskin like Rabbeinu Tam, that we say Chatich Nas Nevela by Shar Isurim as well, not only by Basar V'Chalav. However, the Ramah applies four kulas by Shar Isurim. Related to Chatich Nas Nevela. So let's go through these four kulas of the Rama, and then we'll go weiter. I'm trying to plan out like what points to hit in our last four shiurim here over the summer. I'd like to get to my goal is whatever we don't get to today in Nafal Tipas Chalav on a piece of meat on the outside of the pot or whatever, I may just skip because I want to get to Zeya, which relates to using the same oven for Melechig and Fleishig and the same microwave and things like that. I feel like that's kind of important. And I also want to get to the very last Siman in Basar V'Chalav, which is dairy bread, which also is just like a lighter topic. I just figured for like the last day, that might be an easier topic to cover. So let's see. We'll see how far we get right now. So the Rama adds four kulas. Kula number one, says the Rama. Again, these are kulas of, even though we paskin Chatich Nas Nevela by Shari Sunan, because it's not quite the same as Basar Chalav, there are going to be certain leniencies. So leniency number one, says the Rama. Avel miktsas ha-chaticha tocha rotav, ve'ina isur davuk bo. You have part of a piece of meat in the stew, in the chalent, and part of it is protruding out of the chalent. Lo amrin chaticha nas nevela. Then we do not say that piece of meat is chaticha nas nevela. Umitztarif kol hakadera levata la iser. And all of the contents of the pot can be mevata the iser that falls in. Umikol makom, yesh lahachmir lesser osa chaticha, but we should at least be machmir to asr that particular chaticha. Because of b'shar isur, aval bas v'chalav, aval b'shein isur davuk miksas chaticha tocharotav, armin chaticha nas nevela. This is only by shari isur, but by bas v'chalav, you're going to need 60 times the entire chaticha, not just 60 times the isur. So again, the case is as follows: a piece of chazer schmaltz falls on a piece of meat. Now that piece of meat is partially sitting in a stew. The lower half of the meat is sitting in a sauce. The upper half is outside of the sauce. And there is 60 times the chazer schmaltz, 6 times the chazer schmaltz, not 6 times that piece of meat, 6 times the chazer schmaltz in that entire dish, but not in the piece of meat that the chazer schmaltz fell on. And the chazer schmaltz isn't stuck to the piece of meat, it had just fallen on the piece of meat. So the dish is going to, and then you take it off with the piece of meat. But it fell on it while hot, and therefore it gave tam into that piece of meat, and now that piece of meat is partially in this kedera with all this other meat. All you need is 60 times the chazer schmaltz in the entirety of the kedera for the kedera to be mutter, for the rest of the chalent to be mutter. That piece of meat is going to be asr, because obviously we're choshesh that it didn't get evenly distributed, it only landed on that piece of meat. But the rest of it is all going to be mutter. However, if it was milk that fell onto that piece of meat, then what happens to that piece of meat? It becomes a chefza of Basar B'Chalav. The whole thing is Chatich Nas Nevela, and therefore you need Shishim Keneged. The entire Chatich, right? Not just Shishim Keneged, the Chalav.
Is the Ashmaltz, is it on the outside of the pot or inside the pot?
So the Rama doesn't say explicitly where it is. What? L'chori, yes, right? L'chori would mean, it seems that it's on the I would have thought that it's on the outside, right? Let's see. Says the Rama. Yeah. In mixes hachaticha tocha rotav, pirsh sha'af shenir o kisag der achar kach. Yeah, meaning. It seems that it falls on the part that's outside, and then you mix it together with the rest, right? So the concern is that even though you subsequently mixed it together with the rest, maybe it got more absorbed in that original piece. Meaning, but eventually it needs to have tam that gets mixed with everything else. So either you covered the pot, so the zeya, which we'll get to what zeya means, but or you mix it, you give it a stir, and then it gets mixed together with the rest. So that is case number one of the Rama. Case number two, there are going to be four cases. Case number two of the Rama, that we're makel more by shari surim than we are by basar b'chalav, is if you have liquid. Yesh omrim, says the Rama, delor min chanan, we don't say chatich nas nevela, im nisariv iser lach beheter lach, v'achar kach nisariv hakol beheter acher. That if chazer shmaltz, liquid chazer shmaltz juice gets mixed in with orange juice, right? And then that combination, let's say 1 ounce of chazer shmaltz juice gets mixed in with 10 ounces of orange juice, then that combination of 11 ounces now gets mixed in with 50 more ounces of orange juice. So do I say that the original 11 ounces of orange juice that had the tam of chazer shmaltz is now chatich nas nevela, and I need 60 times that? Or do you say, no, altogether you only need 60 times the chazer shmaltz? So says the Rama, even though we normally say chatich nas nevela b'shari surim, not by a davalach, not by liquids that mix together. The ein srichim rak shishim negre isr shenapel. You only need 60 times that 1 ounce of chazer shmaltz juice. But that's only by shari surim. It's not by basar b'chalav. So, for example, again, let's take non-kosher camel milk falls into kosher milk, and there isn't 60 times the camel milk, so the entire mixture is asur. But if that mixture now falls into a huge bowl or a huge vat of kosher milk, where you don't have 60 times the mixture, but you have 60 times the original camel milk, so the Rama says the camel milk is batel. We don't say that the original mixture is chatich nas nevela, but we're only makel by hafsid gadol and only bishari surim. We're not going to be makel with bas b'chol. So if an ounce of meat juice falls into 10 ounces of milk, and then that mixture subsequently falls into 50 more ounces of milk, no good. It's chatich nas nevela, and you're going to need 60 times that 11-ounce combination of meat juice and milk.
Is that only if both fruits are juices? As long as one
of them is juices? Yeah, no, both are juices. They're liquid.
But how come liquids are different?
Because we assume that everything gets perfectly evenly distributed by a liquid. All the molecules mixed together evenly.
Why is that even in the first cooler?
Why is it any different?
In the first cooler.
The first cooler was with solids that are cooking together. This is with liquids.
What
I mean, not just havmina, the maskana. Liquids are different than solids.
No, we're saying liquids are more makeable.
No, because liquids are more... Yeah. Right, because they're more makel in the sense that everything gets evenly distributed right away. Meaning by the solid, it didn't get evenly... That original chaticha remains awesome, no matter what.
Didn't he apply this in the first pool? He also applied this. If the
meaning what you're asking is that we're not saying chanan. Correct, we're not saying chanan, but there are two different cases that we're not saying chanan. One is a case of solid, another is a case of lit.
Isn't the case of solid more of a chiddush? Why wouldn't you say the second one?
They're different. In the case of the solid, you're still going to answer the original solid piece.
Oh, because here.
Then a third thing that the Rama says, Vim nisariv yavish biav. Now, this one is not really a difference between shari surim and basar b'chalav, just another exception to chatich nas nevela. He says, what happens if you have a tarovis yavish biavish? Now, tarovis yavish biavish does not mean anything that's not lach b'lach. Meaning, what we were just talking about was where liquids actually get mixed together. And the case before that we spoke about was there are solids involved, but they were cooked together. What happens if nothing is cooked, nothing transfers any time, nothing goes into anything else? You just have a kosher hamburger and a non-kosher hamburger. You have an impossible burger with cheese on it and mamish a cheeseburger. Or let's not go into possible colors. Let's say you have a piece of nevela, a nevela hamburger, and a kosher hamburger. And you just can't identify which one is which. So what's the halacha? Two hamburgers, one's kosher, one's not kosher. Can't identify which one's which? Well, there's two. There's no rov. There's just two. There's just two.
Okay, so you have a
sorry
to have a
non-Jewish. No, come on. There's nothing. It's awesome. Why? Because you don't have rov. You don't have rov. So it's awesome. Meaning, a tarum is if you have a is batel brov. But if you don't have rov, you just have one and one, it's going to be asur, nachon? So you have one kosher hamburger, one non-kosher hamburger, but you can't identify which one is which. You just got two burgers in front of you. So the halacha is that they're both going to be asur. Good? Right? We agree? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Then another kosher burger gets into the mix. You still can't identify any of them now. But now you know, what do you know?
Rove.
That you have rove kosher. Or do you? Because once you had the one and the one, right, the original two that got mixed together, they both became aser. So do we say chaticha nasa nevela? And now you need rov keneged those two? So now you need three more kosher ones? By the way, even when you just have like an original tarovis of two and one, let's say you have two kosher hamburgers, one non-kosher hamburger, so then we for sure say batal barov, right? And everything becomes kosher, right? There's a machlok, you showed him what that means. Does that mean that you can actually eat all three of them? Does it mean, no, you can't eat all three of them, because you know you just throw a random one out and then rely that the other two are the kosher ones? Does it even mean you can pile all three of them on top of each other and eat them all at the same time? Does it mean that you can't eat all three of them, but religious Jews can eat all three of them? I mean, give one to your friend, one to another friend, and you eat one of them. Right, so there's major machlokas, we showed them how to deal with that. But leaving aside that machlokas, which is a fascinating machlokas, like, to what extent do we say bittul is, like, changes the metzias, like, and actually makes it, that the non-kosher thing becomes kosher? And to what extent do we just say, no, it's playing a game of chance, and therefore we're allowed to rely on those chances. But leaving all that aside, so again, our case, one non-kosher, one kosher hamburger. Halacha is treif, right? You can't eat any of them. Now what do you need to be mevatalem? Do you need three more kosher ones or only one more kosher one to be mevatalem? So says the Ramah, v'im nisariv yavish b'yavish, lo amrinon bishum iser chaticha nas nevela. Even by basa b'chalav, we're not going to say chaticha nas nevela. We don't say chaticha nas nevela when the things are dry, and it's just a matter of rov. So the case of shari sudum is that you have chatichas iser and chatichas heter, meaning kosher hamburger, non-kosher hamburger, mixed. No cooking, no transfer of tam. You just can't identify them. So they're both aser. Then another kosher hamburger gets added to the mix. You don't need three new pieces of meat. It is all going to be batel barov. Just one new piece of meat, one new hamburger is enough to make it batel barov. The case of basar b'chalav is a situation of, the Prima Gadim explains, a piece of meat absorbed milk, right? And then that hamburger that absorbed milk got mixed up with another kosher hamburger. So now you have a basar b'chalav hamburger and a kosher hamburger, and you can't identify which one is which. Or let's say you have a cheeseburger and then a cheese impossible burger, and you can't identify which one is the impossible burger because it's impossible. It looks just like meat and tastes just like it. It doesn't really. But let's say, right, so it's you can't identify which is the impossible burger or which is the real meat cheeseburger. So they're going to be aser, right? Now you mix in another impossible cheeseburger. So the halacha is that the original cheeseburger is batel. However, the Prima Gadim just adds, you would need shishim in all of the three burgers together, keneged the chalav. Impossible burger is not a good example. Let's just say hamburgers that didn't have any tam of chalav, like flesh. Three pieces of flesh, one of them had tam of chalav in it, right? Three pieces of flesh, one of them had tam of chalav in it, you're not sure which one. Prima Gadim says, you're still going to need shishim of the three of them together, keneged the original chalav. Why? Because I'm afraid, once we tell you that they're all kosher, you'll throw them all in a pot, turn on the fire. And what would happen if you don't have shishim of basar keneged the original challah that fell in, and you throw them all in a pot, you turn on the fire. So not just bishul basar b'chalav, which is true, you'll be in violation of bishul basar b'chalav, but you also have tam of chalav now in all of them. Right? So now you'll have mamish tam of basar b'chalav. That would be a real problem. So as long as you keep it yavish b'yavish, right, it will become batel, but we're concerned that you might throw them into a fire. So yeah, it does become batel, but you just have to make sure that you have enough meat that 60 times keneged the original chal. That is comment number 3 of the Rama relating to Chadir Nasavet.
If you have two kosher hamburgers and one non-kosher, you can't tell by sight or smell, you can tell by taste. So the second you sort of fiddle the road, you throw out one of them, the second take a bite, you're like, this isn't kosher.
No, no, then you'd have to. Once you identified it, it's no longer terovis. Yeah.
You're still allowed to take that risk.
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Fourth kula of the Rama. That's a good question. Fourth kula of the Rama. Fourth and final kula of the Rama. Meaning, case where we do not say chatich nas nevelos. Says the Rama, kli hanes army blias iser lo amrinam bechanan. You don't say chatif nas nevela b'shar yisurim with flavor absorbed in a kli. So if a drop of chazer shmelz falls onto a hot pot, right? Or if you cook chazer shmelz in a pot, and then you cook kosher food in the same pot, you need 60 times the amount of kosher food connected what? Connected the chazer shmelz, not connected the entirety of the pot, right? Meaning you might have thought, well, if I'm cooking chazer shmaltz in the pot is becoming treif, and therefore the entire volume of the pot is treif. So what do I need? I should need, if I want food to be cooked in it afterwards to be kosher, and I forget the kasha of the pot, what do I need? I need 60 times. I would have thought,
just
60 times the entirety of the pot. The whole pot became treif. Says the Rama, you only need 60 times the original chazan. Or, maybe I wouldn't have thought that I need 60 times the entirety of the pot, but that pot has been used before for other kosher food. So maybe the whole pot doesn't become treif, but maybe at least whatever food is already absorbed in the pot becomes treif. And therefore I need 60 times... not just the chazer. I might have thought I need 6 times the chazer plus the food that's been previously absorbed in that pot. No, kamashalom, when it comes to kelim, you don't say chatech nas nefela. You only need 60 times the treif. That is the fourth kula of the Rama. So again, we don't say chanan b'shar yisurim with flavor absorbed in kelim. So chazer shmalt gets cooked in your kelim, and then you cook kosher food in that same kli. You only need 60 times the chazer shmalt that was cooked in it in order to be mutter. You don't need 60 times all of the previous flavor that was absorbed in the pot, nor 60 times the full volume of the pot. But by basar b'chalav, that's not true. By basar b'chalav, you do need 60 times the full absorption in the pot. Meaning, I take a fleishig pot and I accidentally cook a little bit of milk in the fleishig pot. So when I subsequently cook fleishigs again, I need 60 times what? Not just the milk, but I need 60 times the combination of the milk and the meat that were absorbed in that pot.
What does that mean, 60 times?
60 times.
What do you mean
absorbed?
The substance in the pot?
So how do you measure? So the way to measure what the absorption in the pot is, you have to assume the mass of the entire pot.
Not just the walls, you have to assume like the whole volume.
No, no, meaning of the mass of the walls of the pot.
The walls, not
the... Well, that's not right. Yeah, just the. Meaning, we assume that there's meat hiding in those walls.
Walls,
right?
Not in like the.
Right. There's no meat hiding in the airspace. You see the airspace, right? So we assume there's meat hiding in that walls, in those walls. So you need 60 times the mass of the pot. How do you measure water displacement?
Does it have with the handle?
Okay, handles are a complicated issue. We're not
going to. You only cook like on like say the bottom layer of the pot. Is it one mass of that?
Ooh, okay, good question. Let's assume that this is an old meat pot that you've used 1,000 times in the last 24 hours, and you've used it with overflowing, whatever. So, but that's a very good question. We're not going to get to that. Okay, so let's just leave that. Okay, those are the four kulas of the Rama. Yeah.
Exactly.
What? Most of it is metal, correct. But we assume that the tam of meat is completely absorbed in that metal. That's the assumption we have to make. Yeah.
Is there what pieces are less than the Ramah
would say? Ah, so remember we said yesterday there were two cases where the Ramah still says Chatita Nasa Nevela, right? We have Isser Davuk. Right? That was the case of... Where chazer falls onto a piece of kosher meat outside of the pot, and then that piece of meat falls into the pot with the other pieces, so you need to, right, meaning when it was totally outside of the pot, right? That was the case we had yesterday, where chazer fell onto a piece of meat, not half in, half out, totally outside of the pot. So independently it became treif. Now you mix in that piece of meat with everything else, and we had the case where, even though in general when non-kosher fat falls onto a pot of kosher meat and gets mixed in, if there's 60 times the fat, everything is kosher, but if it's davuk, if it's isur davuk, if it sticks to one piece, so that piece becomes chana. So those are the two cases of shari sur that he'll actually say, meaning once we go through all these four cases, I hear the question, it sounds like we're not really, he took all the teeth out of saying we apply Chatita Nasa Vela B'Shari Surim, because he just gave me four cases where we don't apply Chatita Nasa Vela B'Shari Surim, but that's why he first gave us two cases where we do apply Chatita Nasa Vela B'Shari Surim.
Why do we only have
What do you mean the inside?
The
airspace?
Yeah.
But there's nothing in it. It's empty. You could feel it.
But once you turn on the oven, the pot gets hot. The pot the inside also gets hot.
Yeah, but there's no tam in air. Tam is only in Kali.
I could theoretically hold it in the middle as long as it doesn't touch the surfaces of the pot. None of the tam transfer.
Right, unless there's water in there or something. Yeah. Yeah, tam needs a medium to transfer. Yeah, right. You could dangle, you could play a game. You could dangle, a Twizzler in there, and whatever. Okay, good. That is that Ramah. Now let's introduce Sif Hei over here in Siman Sadi Beis. A bit of an introduction. The truth is, this whole introduction is just basically me reading a Beis Yosef, but I won't read it inside. So we've been talking about a drop of milk falls into a pot where there's food cooking, right? Now, or falls onto a piece of meat. What happens, and this is much more common, you're cooking for Shavuos, or it's like a Thursday night dinner in your house, and Thursday night, is cooking for Shabbos time, so there's no, official dinner. It's just like everyone's just going to do their own thing, right? This one's going to have cereal, and that one's going to have... it was going to warm up chicken soup, and that was it. So there's a million things going on all over the place. Like, something's going to get trafed up, right? Like, everyone's having milchigs and fleishigs and things are all over the... So what happens? A piece of chicken soup spritzes out of the pot as you're ladling it out and you're not being super careful, and it lands on the outside of a milchig pot that's making macaroni and cheese. Right? So what happens now? When a piece of meat hits the outside of a pot, or a piece of macaroni with cheese stuck right onto the outside of a fleishig pot, right? So what happens now? So that's what we're going to talk about now. When we talk about kashering kelim, we're in Chumash. Do we talk about kashering kelim? Parshas Matos, correct? Parshas Matos. What do you say? Midian, the clay Midian. That's Parshas Matos. And also there's one other place. That is Parshas Tzav. Parshas Tzav. Why in Parshas Tzav? What's Vayikra about? Karbanos. Here's the thing with Karbanos. Karbanos have a time limit. Once you get past the time limit, of the particular carbon, you're not allowed to eat from it anymore. So carbonos leave a blia in the kli, and once that time limit of the carbon passes, what's that blia going to be called?
Nosar.
Ooh, so that's a problem. So you need to kasher kachim also. So by kachim we say that if you cook kachim in part of a kli, you need to do mariko shtifa in the entire kli. Some sort of kashering, some sort of rinsing and kashering of the entire kli. It's not clear why that's true. Meaning, just be, I cooked in part of the kli. Why would I need to do mariko shtifa of the entirety of the kli? So the Gemara in Zvachim Tzadivav discusses this and raises two possibilities. One possibility is a special din by kachim. When you cook in part of a kli, there's a little bit of milk in the bottom part of the kli. Tam doesn't actually spread to the entirety of the kli. It just stays in the bottom of the kli. A special chumra by kachim, you need a kasher the whole kli, not just the bottom of the kli. Okay. Another possibility, what's the other possibility why you need a kasher the whole kli? The blios get everywhere. The blios, even though you're only cooking in the bottom, it's mifapea bekulo. It spreads, spreads its tentacles through the entirety of the kli. Those are the two possibilities. So now, bring that to us. A drop of milk falls on the outer part of a flesh gapat. So machlok rishonim, what do we assume happens with that drop of milk? What are the two possibilities? Either goes everywhere, or it stays in that spot. Which is better? Like, what are we rooting for? What do we want to happen? Why do you want it to stay in the spot? You only have to kasher that spot. Go, give me the other side.
It's hard to kasher the spot. You don't know where it is. It's not evenly distributed.
Oh, you get, if it goes everywhere and it was just a drop, maybe you don't need to kasher anything because maybe you already have shishim. So what exactly are we rooting for? Do we want it to stay in that spot? Is that better? Which sounds like a weird question, but it's a major machlokas rishon. And the Torah quotes three shitos. Well, we only have two possibilities. We have three shitos. This is what's great about Judaism. The Torah quotes the shita of the smag, who says that best is if it would stay in one place. Because then, whatever you're cooking in the pot, as long as it's shishim times that drop of milk, it's going to be fine. Because if it stays in one place, then the contents of the pot only need to be shishim of that drop of milk. But we do have to be concerned that maybe it's mefapea bekula. So maybe it could make the entire pot usher. And then the contents of the pot need to be shishim keneged, the entirety of the pot. This depends, again, why you need mariko shtifa on the entire pot by kachim. Is it unique to kachim, meaning really it stays in one place, it's not mefapeh bekulo, or it's applicable to everything because it really is mefapeh bekulo. It's a suffix of the smag, so we have to be machmir for both possibilities. That's the smag. The Maram Rutenberg, also quoted by the Tour, says the exact opposite. Ideally, it would be evenly dispersed through the entire walls of the pot, because then it would become batel in the rest of the dofnei kli. The rest of the walls of the kli are probably going to be 60 times the drop of milk that went in there, so it will become batel. Worst case scenario is if it stays in one spot, so it remains a high concentration of iser on that one spot. But we're not sure. So both are machmir for both possibilities. But the smag is machmir because he's worried that it's mefapea, where the yisr can affect everything. While the Maram Rutenberg is machmir because he's worried that it's not mefapea, and if it stayed locally, it would mix with the basar that's balua already in the dofnei akadera, and may not be batel l'shishim. Meaning, what's going to happen? A drop of milk falls on the outside of the fleshy pot. If it stays in one spot, what's happening in that spot? It's mixing with the meat that's already absorbed in that pot. And if it mixes with the meat that's already absorbed in that pot, together with the meat, it becomes bas v'chalav. And what if it stays kind of localized? You know, the drop of milk falls here, and it's only mefapea like right around there, or maybe like right around there, to 59 times the amount of that drop of milk. What happens if it's mefapea to 59 times that drop of milk? you now have 59 times that drop of milk plus that drop of milk of basar b'chalav. What? That's a lot. And now what do you need to be mevatalet? No, that would be 6 times 60. You need 60 times 60. 3,600. You would now need 3,600 times that drop of milk in order to be mevatalet. So that would stink, right? Meaning that you need that much. So again, just one second. So the smag is machmir because he's worried that it is mifapeya, where it can affect everything. Rundberg is machmir because he's worried it's not mifapeya, and you're going to need 3,600 times. If you have shishim pa'amim shishim keneged atipa, if you happen to have 3,600 times keneged atipa, it's mutzim manavshach. Because if it was mifapeya, it's already batal. And even if it's not mifapeya, the worst case scenario is that it only spread to the immediate 59 times its volume, and then and became chanan, chatikanas nevela, so you need 60 times those 60 units. Now, obviously, the entire notion that you're going to apply chatikanas nevela to dofnei hakadera is a big chiddush, and it's against the Ramah. Right? One of the coolers of the Ramah was what? That we don't apply chatikanas nevela to Kalim. So this entire concern is a very big chiddush. And the Gross says, we pass like the Rama. So Bishas and Chaki definitely have what to be in Nekulu. That's sheet number two. Yeah.
Let's say you're cooking tar in the pot.
Yeah.
Meaning, maybe you're cooking.
But it's a fleshik pot.
Fleshik pot.
That has been used in the last 24 hours. And now a drop of milk falls on the outside of the pot.
Right.
You're still going to need 3,600 times that drop of milk. Meaning you're going to have to have enough pasta that's 3,600 times that drop of milk.
Par can be batel?
Yeah. Yeah, basar b'chalav can become batel and par, sure. Yeah, sure.
I just can't.
Yeah.
You say if you have so little amount of, let's say, soup left in the pot, the milk would be shishim, the milk surrounding the pot would be shishim, the content in the actual pot, you would say that soup is batel because of the milk.
How much? Meaning, if like you poured a whole gallon of milk all around the outside of the pot,
yeah.
And the pot was a fleshik pot, or fleshik. I mean, obviously it was cooking something fleshik in it, so that would be very hard to do. That would be impossible to like. Even not only that, even we assume contents of the pot can never even be shishim of the walls of the pot. That physically doesn't work. The pot would never be. You know, you can't make a pot like that. Yeah.
Is this whole concept assuming that it's only while you're it only spritzes onto the other pot while the other pot is cooking something? Because otherwise you would
if it's cold, you have no problem, just wipe it off.
Let's say it was hot and you're like preparing to cook something, then you would still have to clean it out first because they didn't invite one of this.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
What if this food that goes
food that goes on to the kli is cold, but if the pot is hot, what principle are you going to apply? Tasa agava. Tasa agava. Right, so it's going to be it's going to still transfer time. Third shita, smak, not to be confused with smug. The smak, also quoted by the Torah. Third shita, he differentiates where the milk hit the pot, keneged arotav or shelo keneged arotav, meaning. Eli was saying this before, you know, I don't know where he is, but let's say the food level is on the inside the pot, you have chicken soup up to this level, and the milk hit over here. That's different than the milk hitting over here. Right? If the milk hits above the surface, the water level inside the pot, the chicken soup level in the pot, versus below the chicken soup level in the pot. How so? If it goes keneged arotav, right, on the lower part where there's something cooking inside. So then it's not going to cause a problem. Because we're going to assume it shoots straight through the walls of the pot, the tam gets mixed into the chalent that's inside, the chicken soup that's inside, becomes batz of the shishim. That's what he says. If it's mfapeya, then the maram is correct. It will be batz of the shishim anyway. Meaning if you sit manavshach, if you're holding, it goes throughout the whole pot. So the whole pot is going to be shishim. Can I get that drop of milk? And if you hold, it stays in location. It doesn't mean it stays in the dofnek. It goes right through. It's not going to spread. It will go right through, and it will become batel b'shishim in the food that's inside. That's how the smak understands. So again, if it's mifapeya, meaning he's also not sure, is it mifapeya or not? Because Gemara is not sure. But if it's mifapeya and it spreads to the whole dofnei akadera, fine. The maram is right. It's batel b'shishim. Maram is right. And if it's not mifapeya, it's also fine because then it goes straight into the food that's inside the pot, and then you'll certainly have shishim. But the smak then adds, get the food out quickly. Because he doesn't like the idea of using, of continuing to use this pot. Why? It's all kosher. So some say it's just a chumra bi'alma, others say no. You gotta get the food out quickly because you don't want to rely on bittul. Leaving it there is like being mevatel l'chatchila. So you don't want to continuously use this pot, so just get the, as soon as you notice this happen, just get the food out of the pot where everything's going to be kosher. That's all if it falls keneged rotav. What if it falls shalo keneged rotav? So then says the smak, if you hold it's not mifapeh, it stays in one place, it can't go into the food, because wherever it fell, it's nowhere near the food, so it's okay. Right? The milk hit above the level of the food, so you're fine. The food is going to be mutter manashach, because if it was mifapeh, it became batel in the pot, and if it's not mifapeh, it doesn't touch the food. But the drop might get stuck with 59 times its volume of basar in the walls of the pot, and then become chatich nas nevel of basar v'chalav. So what's going to be really important to do is not to pour the food out over that area of the pot where the milk hit, because then it's going to be passing through a basar v'chalav zone in the walls of the pot, and it's going to be probably going to need 3,600 times. The food that fell on the outside of the pot. So what do you do? Three possibilities what you could do. You could pour it out the other way, right? If the milk hit on this side of the pot, just tilt it that way and pour the food out that way. That's one possibility. That we're a little nervous about because you might shake it too much and it might hit the other, so we don't love that one. You could wait till it cools down. Just take it off the fire, wait till it cools down, and once everything is cold, no time transfers. Or, if you really want to get frum, you can take a drill the bottom of the pot, let it all come out from the bottom. Right? Those are the three eitzas the smak suggests. So again, we had three basic shitas over here. Shita of the smug is that ideally it would stay in one place, because then there would be a chance for bittul if there's enough food in the pot. But we're concerned that it's mefapeya and makes the whole pot aser. The sheet of Maram Rutenberg, no, if it's mifapeya, that's perfect, because then it's going to be batel b'shishim. If it stays in one place, we have a problem, because it might not stay exactly in one place, it might mix with the 59 units around it, and then you're going to need 3,600 times, that's going to be a bigger problem. The smak depends. If it fell kineged arotav, then it's for sure okay, because if it's mifapeya, it's going to be batel. And if it's not mifapeya, then it's going to go right through and the food is going to for sure be shishim times it. But if it falls shalok neged arotav, so then you just need to be careful how to pour the food out. Yeah.
If it's not keneged arotav, then you can even keep it there because it's not being levato
tefila. Nachon. Now let's see what the Shulchan Aruch paskens. You tell me, who's the Shulchan Aruch Paschal? Take out your Shulchan Aruch. Sim Tzadi Ve'Sifhe. No cheating. Right? No looking at fair gold or anything like that. Sifhe. Tipas Chalav Shenafla La Kedera. You have a drop of milk that falls on a pot. She'etzel Ha'esh. That's on the fire. Mi Bachutz. Where did the milk fall? The outside of the pot. Im nafla keneged tafshil, if it falls within, you know, keneged where the tafshil inside the pot is, ein tzorich halashishim keneged atipa. Shem fapas lefnin. You only need 60 times that tipa because it shoots right through the walls of the pot, goes inside. Vavi ki'ilu nafla b'tafshil. And that would be the same as if it fell inside the pot. Im nafla b'makom areika. What does it mean, nafla b'makom areika? Above the surface level, V'mifapas b'dofen hakadeira, and therefore it starts spreading through the walls of the pot, ad samoch lerotav, till it gets close to the surface level, kol kach shein shishim keneged atipa, and maybe it only spread to 59 times its volume, hare nesar oso makam hakadeira. Well, then that spot of the pod becomes aser. V'myara atavshil derech makam hakadeira shenesar, and if you pour it out through that side, hare liyasar atavshil, now the food's going to become aser. V'zet hakon oso, and therefore you should do this. Leave it there until it cools down. Pretty clear. Who does he pass like? Smak. Third shita, right? Very clearly like the smak. So, again, Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Milk falls connected to tavshil. So if there's 60 times the drop of milk in the pot, batel, food is mutter. And the Shach Sivkat Yuches explains exactly what we saw in the smak itself, in the Beis Yosef itself, that when a drop falls on the outside of the pot, we're not sure if it enters directly into the food or it travels through the walls of the pot. So when the drop of milk falls opposite the food, if it goes directly into the food, great! Why is that great? It's batel b'shishim. It's just like it fell in the food, you know, it's like falling inside the pot. And if it travels throughout the walls of the pot, also batel b'shishim. From the meat that was previously in the walls of the pot. The Rama then, in Sivav, points out that the Ya'ara miyad hatavshil menu b'tzad acher shelo k'neged atipa. Right? You should pour it out right away. B'tzad acher shelo k'neged atipa. That you should empty the pot right away, because we're not sure if the drop went into the food or maybe is sitting in the walls of the pot. And we're worried that at any moment it may fully penetrate and get into the food. That's why you got to empty it out right away. Because maybe so far, it hasn't made its way through. And if you leave it there, what's going to happen? It will make its way through. And then what will have you done? It will become batel, but you will have been mevatel l'sul chadchila. And you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to create a situation of bitel. So empty it out as soon as possible. Don't be mevatel l'sul chadchila. What about the pot? So the Rama in Sivav says that even if you have shishim in the pot with relation to the drop of milk, the pot's going to be aser. That's against the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, no, the pot's going to be mutter. It's batel. Shishim. Right? The smak says if it spreads throughout the entire pot, great. The whole thing's going to be mutter. The Rama says even if you have shishim in the pot with relation to the drop of milk, the pot is still going to be aser. The Shach in Sivkan Chavzayin explains the Rama that you can't reuse the pot without kashering it, because with the pot we're worried that the drop didn't go into the food and maybe it didn't even spread throughout the entirety of the pot. Meaning the Rama's Lishitasa, that he's worried that maybe it didn't happen immediately. Whatever's going to happen, maybe it didn't happen immediately. Like, we assume two possibilities. Either as soon as that drop hit the outside of the pot, it spread all over and became batel, or it went right through and became batel in the food. Maybe it started working its way through, but didn't make it all the way yet. So it's still sitting there in that spot on the outside of the pot, in which case it's maybe not batel yet. So if you cooked meat a second time in the pot without kashering it, you would need 60 times the original drop of milk, because we're worried that maybe it's making it through then. The Taz disagrees with Rama. Taz in Sivkat Yizayin disagrees with Rama. He says, when the drop of milk falls keneged atavshil, and there's shishim against the drop, the pot remains kosher. If it falls keneged atavshil, we're not sure if it goes into the food or it stays in the walls of the pot without moving. But the food is kosher, because when there's 60 times the drop of the milk in the pot, if the metzius is that the drop goes into the food, good, it's batel b'shishim. If the metzius is that it stays in the walls of the pot, it never came into contact with the meat, and it's going to be mutter. And you could reuse the pot without kashering it, because, again, if the drop of milk went into the food, it was already batel, and it's mutter. And if it stayed in the walls of the pot, guess what? Next time you use it, you know what it's going to do? It will stay in the walls of the pot. I mean, whatever you think happened the first time, it's going to happen the second time the Taz assumes. He's not choshish for this third possibility, that it started its you know, its penetration in, but it didn't finish yet, and it's just going to finish on the next one. Nah, it either goes in or it doesn't, or it stays in the pot. And if it stays in the pot, then you got nothing to worry about. But he says, don't use it because of marasayin, says the Taz. People are going to think you're allowed to cook with trefa pots. So that's the Taz. Yeah.
Why is that any different than cooking with trefa pots? I mean, I guess like the shear is a lot smaller, but
that's it. Yeah, it's butter. Right. So good? Good? Okay. One more nekuda. And tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get into Zaya. Let's see, which nekuda should we do now? Okay, Shulchan Aruch and Sefer. We'll do something a little easier. Okay, it's been a little complicated. Shulchan Aruch and Sefer, still quoting from the Smak, by the way, says that if the drop of milk fell on the outside of the pot, on an area that's keneged ha'esh, says Shulchan Aruch. Nagua olam lasar kishnava al dof and shalok kinegar rotav vidavka kishnava bosu tzad she'eino kinegar eish aval im nafal kinegar eish mutter she'eish sorfo umiyavsha. Piece of milk fell right where the fire is hitting the pot. All mutter. We assume it immediately got burnt up. It never had time to penetrate, never had time to be mfapeya in the pot, never had time to penetrate through the pot. It's all going to be mutter. Kenegad eish. Do we have that nowadays? What's kenegad eish? Yeah, meaning you would have to have, like, it would be hard to do. Right? You know, sometimes if you have, like, a small pot and you put it on the biggest burner, right, sometimes the fire goes up along the sides of the pot. So I guess you could do it in that situation. But they were assuming that it's, like, in an oven where there's fire, like, shooting at it. You know, so like, that's hard. But you know where this is very relevant? The grates of the stove itself. A drop of something falls on the grates. Why do you use the same grates for milk and flesh and pots? Shouldn't you assume that it's a problem? Meaning, there's spillage sometimes. So shouldn't they be absorbed with tam of basar, tam of chalup? I just trafed up your whole kitchen. Well, I mean, you know, some of you may have milchik stovetop and fleshik stovetop if you've remodeled your kitchen in the last couple of years or something. But most people don't. Ramesh Feinstein didn't, you know, right? Lower East Side. By the way, a new video of Ramesh just came out. A half-hour-long video of him talking. It's Yiddish, but it's still so geschmack. Like, it makes you want to cry when you watch it. And there are kids coming and saying their Mishnah is palpetin. And sits there listening to the Mishnah Yisrael. Very sweet video. So anyway, you want to see, I'll put it on the chat.
Night activity.
We got to get a Yiddish translator. And it's cool, you see like a young Rabbi Tender, you know, in the video. Because Rabbi Tender was there, you know, and Rabbi Mordechai.
If one, can the tam of within the metal of one pot, if it's cooked and touches metal of another pot?
No. Metal to metal won't transfer time. So you need a liquid medium.
So that's the answer.
No, but if there's a spillage on the outside, right? Meaning if there's any liquid medium, if anything over bubbles over. So the reason it's mutter is this halacha. When it's kenegad eish, we assume nothing is balea. It burns up right away when it's kenegad eish. Not only that, also if a lot of milk spilled on the outside of the pot, even if it was kenegad yesh, the food's not going to be mutter, unless it's opposite, you know, kenegad tafshil and there's shishim in the pot, because the fire can't evaporate all of the milk quickly enough before any absorption happens. It's difficult to get kenegad yesh, but that's what we assume with the grates. We assume that in one way, mimanush, either it got burnt before it ever absorbed, or when you turn on the fire, it koshers it out. You know, because kashering with libun chamor always works. So you assume that in fire, the grate sitting in fire is enough to kasher it out. The Ramah at the end of Siv Zayin says one more thing: if the pot is covered and the contents of the pot are hot and bubbling in a way that the steam rises to the top of the pot, then it's as if the whole pot is filled. Meaning, even though the pot's only half filled, but you covered the pot, so the steam, the thick steam, is filling the entire pot, then it's considered as if the pot is filled. And therefore, even though we were mechalik between when milk goes keneged tafshil and shalok keneged tafshil, if a drop of milk falls on the upper section of the pot, shalok keneged tafshil, but the pot is covered and the steam rises to the top, we view it as if the drop fell keneged tafshil, opposite the food. So if there's 60 times in the pot, the food will be mutter, and the pot, after 24 hours, you know, whatever, after 24 hours, maybe you need after 24 hours. So, la halacha, a drop of milk falls keneged tafshil, and there's 60 times in the pot, the food is going to be mutter, and the pot, according to the Ramah and the Shach, will need to be kashered, unless there's much more than shishim against the drop of milk, even though we didn't get to that, but that's a chachma sadam. According to the Taz, the pot is going to be mutter after 24 hours, no matter what. When a drop falls, shalok keneged tafshil, shalok keneged tafshil, Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin says Shasat Chak or Erev Shabbos we're willing to be Mekel because we need it. You know, we'll get to that. We'll see if we have time to get to that.
Yeah. Isn't
you know, when the whole thing fills with steam, we view it as if it's entirely.
Oh.
Steam
considered part of the
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Why do you kosher your stove grates for Pesach?
Chumrah. Pashas. If you don't kosher them for milk, it's pleasure. You know, chumrah the chametz. Chumrah the chametz. So yeah, in a chinam. Yeah. So the Shulchan Aruch over here in Siv Zayin says that if a drop falls shalok keneged atavshil, Bishas al Chak or Erev Shabbos, the food is going to be mutter. The Taz and the Gra explain that Bishas al Chak, we rely on the Shita that we don't say Chatir Nas Nevel on food that's absorbed in the pot. Meaning, even the Mechaber is relying on that Shita that the Ramah had mentioned. So a drop of milk falls, Shalok Keneged HaTavshil. Normally, we're Machbir to say that the milk only spread to an area that's 59 times that drop, and that entire section of the pot now becomes. Chatir Nasan Vela becomes Basu B'chalav. But Peshas al Chak, we hold like the opinion holds that you only say Chatir Nasan Vela by food, but not by absorptions in a pot. So if the milk falls on the upper section of the pot, Shalok Keneged HaTavshil, you can even pour the food out from that side where the drop hit, as long as you have shishim in the food against the drop of milk, Peshas al Chak.
Can you explain the reasoning to the previous question? I mean, why, in terms of.
Yeah, because I think food can't grow.
But it grows in.
Meaning whatever, yeah, meaning the it's considered to have been spread, but not to grow. To have been spread evenly throughout the pot, but it doesn't, the volume of the food doesn't grow. I think that's the assumption. Yeah, okay, maybe we'll stop there. And tomorrow we're going to get into the sugya of Zeya. And Zeya is a very important sugya because that's the sugya that lets us know whether you're allowed to use the same oven for milchigs and fleishigs and how to do that, and whether you're allowed to use the same microwave for milchigs and fleishigs and how to do that. So, Bez Hashem, that will start tomorrow, maybe even finish tomorrow, but at least we'll start that tomorrow.